the key word for this week has been marquee signings, of course. That is because a lot of big teams have signed marquee players from abroad to South African football, and that is the way in which we set the tone for this show. Hello and welcome to it. My name is Nkululeko Nkewe, and this is the Soccer Laduma Transfer Wrap. We will be talking about these marquee signings with none other than Thomas Konaite, who is an African football expert, would give us an idea or his impressions about the signings that have been made by big teams in PSL football. We also spoke to Soccer Laduma's very own Kurt Bakkerveld. He's a Soccer Laduma international journalist. Talks to us about the international signings, marquee names being linked with marquee teams. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm now joined on the line by African football journalist Thomas Konaite, who's also an analyst at SuperSport with the show Soccer Africa. We thank him very much for joining us. Let's get straight to it. So I'll start with Mamelodi Sundowns. I mean, they've signed Jeremy Brockie. They've signed Siyabonga Zulu, and they've also signed Serinho from Uruguay. What have you made at the statement of intent, seeing that they're also leading the league at the moment? What does it essentially mean? I suppose we always ask ourselves that when Sundowns go out and sign. They signed Vanessa and Lebesa previously, and we thought, you know what, this means that they will take the league easily, and it hasn't been that. What does it mean now in this context that they're leading the league?
I think you've got to also add Aubry Mgoma as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. And you're quite right. I think this is a statement of intent because, I mean, those are marquee signings. I mean, Jeremy Brockie is huge. He's one of the top strikers in the country. And yes, granted, he hasn't been able to find the net in more than 10 matches, but we all know his quality. And Sundowns frontman since Leonardo Castro went to Kaizer Chiefs. They've been using Percy Dau as a key striker. And Percy Dau, of course, we know his physique, of course. Marches is a very skillful player. His physique, of course, usually works to his disadvantage. But having said that, I think we know what a deadly player Dau can be. He's an exceptionally talented player. Now, add Jeremy Brockie, add Serino as well as Aubry Mgoma into the mix. Then you have probably a new CBD in action. And I have a feeling that once these three players can gel and click, the Sundowns are going to be very, very difficult and impossible to stop. As you quite rightly said again, that they are still leading the standings, but they've gone through a couple of speed humps during the last couple of matches. They haven't been as consistent as one would have expected. But I suppose bringing in Jeremy Brockie and Serino as well as Aubry Mgoma, I think, yeah, Sundowns now they will be a new, completely different dimension to their attacking. And the mere fact that they've gone for attackers, for that matter, and proven goal scorers, for that matter, I think that in itself is a clear statement that they do not intend letting go of the Premier League. In fact, they want to wrestle it away from business.
I think we've resigned ourselves collectively as football people to the idea that perhaps Manchester City is going to win the league in England because of the amount of points that they have over the number two, Manchester United. With these signings, could we then say, or can I hear it from you, perhaps your perspective that we might as well, or the club might as well, kiss the PSL title goodbye to Mamelodi Sundowns?
Not really. I think Sundowns didn't do their cause any good by, they had a couple of matches in hand. If they had won those matches, I would say the other teams may as well just throw in the towel. But Sundowns didn't do their cause any justice by losing matches we expected them to win. I mean, to Polokwane City. Yes, against Orlando Pirates, you can expect anything because the two teams usually play an open attacking game against each other. In fact, people talk about the big derby being Kaizer Chiefs against Orlando Pirates. In my book, the biggest derby is Mamelodi Sundowns against Orlando Pirates. Check every game the two teams play, and it is all action. And Pirates took it. You know, Pirates took it. They took their chances, and Sundowns teams, look, they gave it their best, but on the day, just couldn't convert their chances. And maybe the arrival of Brocky and Ngoma, as well as Cirino, might change their conversion rate somewhat a little bit. I don't know. But I think Sundowns cannot rest on their laurels and say, yeah, we are home and dry. I think there is still a lot of work to do, and a lot will depend on how quickly the new signings hit the ground running. And another point that I think Piso will have to juggle very carefully, how do you integrate these players? You've had a group of players that have brought this team to where it is right now. Then suddenly you drop three players or four players for that matter to accommodate new arrivals. It is a bit tricky. So Piso will have to play his cards very right to ensure that he brings these players gradually into the starting 11.
And one of the players that belong currently to Mamelodi Sundowns and may not belong to them anytime between now and the next 6 months is Kamar Bilyat. And he's been linked with everyone from Pirates to Chiefs to overseas. I want your thoughts on him. And also, when you look at Kaz Chiefs signing Abonjanga Aseh, signing Castro, would you say that this is a shift in their mindset in terms of what they want to do going forward? Because we've seen them signing free transfers, and they're now buying players. They've been linked with Kamar Bilyat, like I said, and also Evans Rusike at Maritzburg United. So take me through your thinking when you observe what they've been doing in this current transfer window, and what do you think that means for them?
I think Mamelodi Sundowns will do their challenge the world of good if they do not use Kamar Bilyat anymore. I think Kamar Bilyat's body language is a clear indication that he's no longer interested in playing for Mamelodi Sundowns. I think the last game I saw him play, I mean, for me, he was just going through the motions. It seems like he's being forced to play. He doesn't want to play for Sundowns anymore. And it's a good thing that they've accepted that Kamar doesn't want to play for them anymore. And having said that, I think it will be up to Kaizer Chiefs, or Orlando Pirates for that matter, because he's been linked to both clubs, to go all out and get him, you know. And they can get him now because he's no longer keen on playing for Mamelodi Sundowns. As for Kaizer Chiefs, I think Kaizer Chiefs were under the impression, or rather labored under the misconception, that they are the biggest team in the country or in the continent, and every top player, you know, wishes to play for them and all that. Yes. Now, forgetting that in this day and age, players will be lured by what you offer them. You know, your status doesn't count anymore. It is what I will be able to put on the table for my children at the end of the day that counts. And so, while Mamelodi Sundowns and Orlando Pirates, and to some extent, Peter's Best as well as Cape Town City, you know, the new kids on the block, have gone out of their way to pay, you know, big dollars to bring quality to their team. Kaizer Chiefs have always relied on players that were on a free transfer or were easily available, or they would, you know, wait for a player whose contract is about to run out and then they will sign a free contract. But now they realize, if you look at Kaizer Chiefs, when was the last time that they've been able to win the league or win a silverware for that matter? And it is not only dry. It has not only been a couple of dry seasons for Kaizer Chiefs. We know Kaizer Chiefs to be a swaggering, flamboyant, dominate kind of team, but not anymore. You know, it's quite embarrassing to find Kaizer Chiefs being outplayed by Chippa United, outplayed by Baroka, you know, outplayed by Mamelodi Sundowns. Then you find them just hanging in there against your Maritzburg United. It's uncharacteristic of Kaizer Chiefs. So they have to dig into their pockets and go and buy quality players that defeat their stature as one of the top teams in the country. And I'm quite impressed that they've gone for Leonardo Castro. They've signed Ntanga Aseh. That as well is an indication that they cannot labor under the impression anymore that, oh, every top player will come to us because we are the glamour boys of South African football. Not anymore. It doesn't work. And I think they've woken up. They are now smelling the coffee and they've gone out and done what is right.
Mm. And before I let you go, Mr. Gunaite, I want to ask you this. Orlando Pirates is 17-year-old Lyle Foster. He's been hot property because of what he mainly does with the under-20s with Thabo Sinong. And a lot of teams overseas have noticed him, and it's now an open secret that Monaco and Lille are fighting over his signature. So much such that Sokala Duma has reported in the latest edition of the newspaper that he will sign for Monaco eventually, whether now or when he turns 18, he will sign for Monaco. That's one. And also another player that has been linked with an outgoing transfer for Orlando Pirates has been Aboubakar Mubara, who's been in excellent form. He's a vice captain and he stands in for Thabo Matlaba when he's not there. He's been linked with Bidvest because Orlando Pirates are seemed to be wanting Umlambo from Bidvest, the midfielder. To talk to us, and Helman Kelele has mentioned that he's not really worried actually about Pirates not signing players because the players that are there are sufficient. What are your thoughts when you look at Orlando Pirates and their transfer activity at this point so far?
Nani is a very good friend of mine, and we can always agree to disagree. And in this instance, I disagree with Nani that Orlando Pirates do not need to sign players. I am of the view that big clubs all over the country will always look out for exceptional players, will always look out for talented players to strengthen their team. You cannot sit and say, I have enough players, I have enough quality. It doesn't work that way anymore. I think Pirates need to sign a couple of players. Okay, they've got a balanced team per se, but if you look at it, they might lose Mubara, they might lose a couple of players. They've already lost the link to a French team and all that. And they need to go out there and get players. And that is the reason why they are gunning for Kamabilia. If they can get him. They lost on Brocky. You know, they lost to Mamelodi Sundowns and who signed Brocky. And now, I think Kamabila now is the, I suppose, is the only marquee signing that is available for them. And if they are not careful, I believe Cape Town City as well are on the hunt for top players. And I think they need to go out there. I think they have been slow out of the blocks in terms of their transfer activity. But a big club like Orlando Pirates, I think, I would expect them before the transfer window closes shut at the end of the month, I would expect them to announce a huge, huge signing before then. And, yeah, of course, Sokala Duma, as usual, will be on the pulse of our readers in terms of who that might be. We know who that might be, but we cannot divulge it just yet.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Kunaite. We appreciate your time.
It's always a pleasure.
Sokala Duma Radio. Right, I'm now joined in the studio by Kurt Bakkerveld. He's a Sokala Duma international journalist. Kurt, thank you very much for joining us on the studio. How's it going?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, there's been quite a lot of things happening in English media and in English football, rather, and obviously a lot of it playing out in the media, and none more than the Alexis Sanchez saga, where he initially was supposed to sign for a certain team, and on the last minute he looks like he's seemingly going to sign for a rival of the team. I'm going to allow you to pave the way for us as to when this started, just briefly, and where we are now. At which point are we now in this Alexis Sanchez transfer to Manchester City, Manchester United?
Well, of course, I'll put it very, very briefly. Alexis Sanchez was expected to sign for Manchester City at the start of the season. That deal fell through as Arsenal couldn't find a replacement in time. So Sanchez stayed. His form did dip compared to last season. He hasn't been at his best. And it now looked again, as the January transfer window came, it looked like City were in for him again. But once City found out that Sanchez and his agent were entertaining a deal offer from Manchester United, City were kind of put off by that and said, well, if you're going to entertain that and if you're not going to show 100% commitment to us, if you're not going to show that you want to play for Pep Guardiola, you want to win the league, then we don't want you at all. So they withdrew from... They withdrew their interest, and it does seem imminent that Sanchez will join Manchester United.
Yeah, the question for me then would be, at what point did they realize that Manchester was interested in the player? What is it that they did wrong? Was there an amount maybe that they didn't want to go to? Were Arsenal accepting of the offer for Sanchez, considering that he was in his last 6 months of the contract? What happened with City that made him fall into the arms of Manchester United?
Well, the talk, I think it was 2 weeks ago, was that City weren't willing to pay more than 20 to 25 million pounds for Sanchez, whereas Manchester United were willing to spend anywhere between 30, 35. So City had given their maximum and said, we're not spending more than this. Arsenal came back, and I mean, obviously Arsenal are going to take whoever's spending more. And it also came down to the fact that Manchester United were willing to offer more in wages. City weren't prepared to make him the highest paid player in the team. I think that would be unfair because City have been doing so well without him. Why all of a sudden are you going to bring in somebody who immediately demands to be, you know, the best paid player at the club? I think that would upset the team chemistry. So for now, just look at what we've heard is that United were willing to offer more, and City wouldn't budge.
Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, former KEF Player of the Year in 2016, who's been peeped to that now by an incredible Mohamed Salah. He has had this habit of not skipping meetings, skipping pre-match meetings or meals or whatever that is that he's supposed to be following at those procedures that he's supposed to be following at Borussia Dortmund, seemingly agitating for a move. Luis Suarez had a very ingenious way of forcing moves by biting players. This guy skips meetings for a living. He looks like he's also forcing a move. Tell us about that and his links with Arsenal. Is this a direct replacement for him? Do Arsenal need him after signing Lacazette? Just quickly about that.
Well, I think he would be a great signing, and as Wenger said in a press conference yesterday, he said that he would suit Arsenal style. He has had a few disciplinary issues, but then again, like you mentioned, it could be because he's trying to get out the club. I mean, he's had three disciplinary. He's been disciplined three times this season. He's been left out of matchday squads for whatever reason. He's, you know, been out the country like the day before a game and things like that. So, yes, he might be getting up to mischief, but I think he would be a great player in the Premier League. I think he's got the pace for it. He's a finisher. And I do think that he'll play just wide of Lacazette. But then again, as we've seen, Lacazette doesn't play 90 minutes often, so he might even play up top and Lacazette and him will rotate. But I think he will be a great signing for Arsenal.
Yeah, and then Arsene Wenger, actually, he was very open about, in his last press conference, he was very open about everything from the deal on Sanchez. But when this player's name came up, he really was very coy. He really didn't want to jeopardize anything with negotiations, with words coming from his mouth in that press conference. But we move right along then to a seemingly embarrassing situation at the Stamford Bridge. Embarrassing for me because I'm admittedly a fan of the club. Well, they need someone to back up Alvaro Morata, who hasn't been scoring recently, and their search has, well, ingeniously, their radar has somehow pointed them towards Andy Carroll, a tall striker, English, injury-prone, Newcastle, Liverpool, now at West Ham United, and also Peter Crouch, the robot dancing guy from England that has scored a lot of goals for Stoke City, but he's 36 years old now, he's on media, he writes, he's on radio as well. I'm sure he'll dance with the stars very soon. I'm sorry for ranting, but these guys being linked with Chelsea, what is happening? Do they really need to replace? There's also Edin Dzeko as well. My heart melted when I saw that. And I was like, oh, okay. At least there's light at the end of this tunnel. So, do they need a backup for Morata, considering that they have Michy Batshuayi? Tell us about those links. What happened with the other players that I've just mentioned?
Well, yes. At first, it was Andy Carroll. We heard about these links 2-3 weeks ago. That surprised everybody. I don't understand the thinking there. Obviously, they're trying to get in somebody to be backup to Morata, because at the moment, with Michy Batshuayi, Morata hasn't really got tough competition on the bench. So I think that what Conte is trying to do is trying to get somebody who's going to come in and be hungry, you know, fresh legs, and Morata will have to pick up his game. It'll improve Morata's game, but I just don't think Andy Carroll or Peter Crouch are those, you know, I don't think they are the guys that will do that. I do think that Chelsea need a backup. I think Edin Dzeko would be a fantastic backup to Morata.
He could be a main number nine.
Exactly. But I just think Batshuayi has shown just inexperience. I don't think he's great from the start. He's scored some goals off the bench, but he's not exactly a striker you're going to get it to his feet. He's going to hold up the ball. He does like to get on the end of things, and he can finish. He's just, his influence on games just hasn't been great since joining Chelsea, and I don't think Conte is really happy with him. I mean, we've seen games where Morata's been injured and he's rather gone with somebody else up front than, you know, his second striker. Batshuayi's been left on the bench, so who knows what will happen. I just think it's rather comical that Andy Carroll and Crouch are linked with Chelsea, but we'll see what happens.
I agree with you. Lastly, before I let you go, do you think that, obviously, Manchester City, we, you, myself and everyone else, think that we'll win the league, Manchester City will win the league. Do you think that, at least on a popularity contest level, if Sanchez signs for Manchester United, that they've somehow won a beauty contest?
I think so. I think more so for Mourinho than anybody else, really, because, I mean, Pep's obviously outshone him this season, and I think Mourinho going for Sanchez was kind of a, well, you know what, I'm going to just try and get one over this guy, even if it means I'm not winning a league. But like, as you just said, City are clear favourites for the league, 12 points clear. So I think signing Sanchez will irritate Pep. I think Pep wanted him at City. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the whole situation plays out.
All right, that's Kurt Bakkerfield. He's a Soccer Laduma journalist. He's also on Twitter as Kurt Laduma. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Soccer Laduma Radio.
Thank you very much for listening. And as always, you can always get this information on the Soccer Laduma website, Soccer Laduma newspaper, the website www.soccerladuma.co.za, and the newspaper that is in circulation once every week on Wednesdays. We thank you very much for lending your ear, and we hope you enjoyed the show.
Soccer Laduma Radio. Soccer Laduma Radio.